I'm Griffin Marie, and welcome to UBS's Top of the Morning podcast. It's Friday, so that means it's time for the week in review and preview. Today we'll be covering what's driving this week's market moves, tactical plays for reopening, a recap of earnings season, and much more. So for today's conversation, I'm pleased to welcome back Matt Torme, an associate equity strategist with the UBS Chief Investment Office. So Matt, thanks so much for joining us on Top of the Morning once again.
Hey, good morning, Griffin. Thanks for having me.
Of course. So Matt, a lot is still going on in the markets as we head into the holidays and the final weeks of the year. What were some of the drivers for this week's market moves that we experienced?
Yeah, so similar to the previous Monday when we received the great news regarding Pfizer's COVID-19 vaccine, on Monday of this week, we received some more great news from Moderna, who reported results that showed their COVID-19 vaccine was roughly 95% effective based on an interim analysis of their phase 3 data, and this ended up sending the S&P 500 up about 1.2% on the day. We also learned that Moderna's vaccine candidate can be stored at standard refrigerator temperatures for up to 30 days, which really helped mitigate some of the distribution concerns that came up last week with the Pfizer vaccine. So between both of these vaccine candidates, there should be ample supply for widespread distribution by the second quarter of next year, which is in line with CIO's base case. Turning over to Tuesday, not a lot of major news, but we did hear from Fed Chairman Jerome Powell, who did mention that the pace of improvement in the economy is slowing and that the Fed is not ready to put aside its emergency tools anytime soon. On Wednesday, Pfizer followed up with some more data on its vaccine that showed it is 95% effective and that they'd be filing for emergency use authorization from the FDA, which we saw that they just did this morning. However, markets did end the day lower as coronavirus cases and hospitalizations continue to rise, which has led to tighter restrictions across the country, most notably the closing of New York City public schools temporarily. And finally, just last night, we saw that the FDA did issue emergency use authorization for Eli Lilly's coronavirus treatment, which when used in combination with Gilead's remdesivir, it actually may be effective in treating COVID-19. And we also did see that the governor of California instituted a curfew due to the rise in cases across the state. So as you can see, Griff, it was a heavy good news related vaccine week, but this did come in combination with worsening coronavirus trends, which has kept the S&P 500 relatively unchanged so far for the week.
Well, thanks for that, Matt. And just to shift over to some of the work that you guys are doing, this week CIO released its 2021 Year Ahead publication, and one companion report that you helped contribute to was the update to the Reopening America stock list. Can you give us an overview of this report and discuss some of the changes that were made to the stock list?
Yes. So alongside the release of the Year Ahead report on Tuesday, we did take the opportunity to refresh our Reopen America stock list, which was a theme that we initially launched back in late May when many of the lockdowns across the country were beginning to lift. The major theme of the Year Ahead report will be the recovery from the pandemic now that we do have viable vaccine candidates and are likely to continue to see further fiscal and monetary support. And some of the dominant trends that will likely come out of this, we believe, support the names on our stock list. When we first launched the theme, the purpose of the list and the changes we just recently made are to leverage ourselves to more cyclical upside that we think is going to dominate markets in 2020.
Well, Matt, just want to shift gears here and get your thoughts on the third quarter earnings season, which is about to wrap up. Can you provide us with an update on some of the final numbers and quickly touch on CIO's current positioning within equities?
Of course. So, yes, we are in the final days of third quarter earnings season, and most of the results have actually been very impressive. With over 95% of the total S&P 500 market cap having reported now, 84% of companies have beaten earnings expectations, and earnings have beaten on aggregate by about 21%. So, just putting things into perspective, the aggregate earnings beat typically comes in around 4% on average, so the impressive results that we have witnessed in the second quarter clearly carried over into the third quarter on what appears to have been conservative estimates. This week, we did hear from some of the major retailers, and just to note a few quick takeaways, even as fiscal support fades, a number of these retailers still sound pretty positive about current trends in their businesses, although the timing of the recent increase in COVID-19 cases comes now during holiday shopping season. So we'll see if these current trends can continue. And fast forward, retailers with built out e-commerce businesses and those that are able to deliver goods on time will continue to be well positioned, especially over the next few months. As far as our current positioning in CIO, we continue to have a cyclical bias in our sector positioning with a preference for industrials, financials, consumer discretionary, and the healthcare sectors. And we offset this with a moderately least preferred view on the real estate and utility sectors and a least preferred view on the consumer staples sector. And finally, we do maintain a preference for mid caps over large caps and our neutral growth versus value.
Can you recap for us this week's notable macro data points? And is this rise we're seeing in unemployment claims a cause for concern going forward?
Yep. So just starting with the beginning of the week first, on Monday, we did see that the Empire State Manufacturing Index fell in November after expectations were pointing towards an increase. And although this decrease was driven by the new orders and shipment components, firms in New York State do remain optimistic that conditions will improve over the next 6 months. Turning to Tuesday, we saw that retail sales increased in October, although the month-over-month change was slightly softer than expectations. And just to dive a little bit deeper by category, retail sales increased for non-store retailers, electronics, and building materials, but declined for department stores, clothing, and sporting goods. We also received an update on industrial production, which rose 1.1% in October and was ahead of expectations. And the rise here can be attributed to increases in manufacturing, business equipment, and utilities production. And lastly, the NHAB housing market index rose to a record high for the third straight month in November, reflecting the fact that housing continues to be a bright spot for the economy. On Wednesday, housing starts increased by more than expectations in October, primarily driven by single family starts, while building permits came in slightly below expectations, but in line with the previous month's data. And finally, on Thursday, the Philly Fed Manufacturing Index fell by less than expected in November, with an increase in the employment component, but declines in shipments and new orders. And on the other hand, the Kansas City Fed Manufacturing Index fell when expectations were pointing to a slight uptick month over month. And although manufacturing activity here does remain below year-ago levels, expectations for future activity remain solid, so similar to what we saw come out of the Empire State Manufacturing Survey. Turning to existing home sales, they surprised the upside for October and provided further confirmation that people continue to leave urban areas for the suburbs, and record low mortgage rates have assisted with this migration. And lastly, weekly initial jobless claims increased from the previous week while expectations were pointing to a decline. But continuing jobless claims did fall by more than expected, which is a positive. So now, just to touch on the last part of your question, Griff, we prefer to wait for the monthly jobs report before drawing any conclusions on a going forward basis. However, one thing we are keeping an eye on is the number of people collecting unemployment benefits seems to be falling faster than payrolls are rising, which could potentially be a cause for concern early next year once provisions in the CARES Act expire.
Well, thanks, Matt. So looking forward, what's taking place next week that investors should keep an eye on?
So next week is a bit of a shorter week because of the Thanksgiving holiday, but there are still plenty of data points on the economic calendar. On Monday, we'll receive an update on manufacturing and services activity for November with the preliminary release of the IHS market PMIs. On Tuesday, we'll get a look into consumer confidence for November, along with the November reading for the Richmond Fed Index, which will provide some insights on the district's manufacturing sector. And on Wednesday, we'll be flooded with data points, including the latest update on third quarter GDP, personal spending and personal income, new home sales, the latest Michigan Consumer Sentiment Index reading, durable goods orders, and finally, the release of the FOMC minutes for the November meeting, which shouldn't lead to any surprises. So although it's going to be a shorter week for most, there will still be a lot for investors to keep an eye on regarding updates on economic activity.
Absolutely. Well, Matt, appreciate the recap of this week's market activity and macroeconomic events, as well as how CIO is positioning itself within U.S. stocks. Appreciate the insights as always, and we look forward to having you back on sometime soon.
Thanks, Griffin. Hope everyone has a great and safe Thanksgiving holiday.
You too, Matt. And again, I've been joined by Matt Torme, Associate Equity Strategist with the UBS Chief Investment Office. And there are many blogs and publications from CIO available now on UBS Online Services, including the 2021 Year Ahead publication, which we referenced earlier in the conversation today. UBS clients can reach out to their financial advisor to receive a copy directly. So thanks for tuning in, and top of the morning. We'll be back next week, everyone.
UBS Chief Investment Office's investment views are prepared and published by the Global Wealth Management Business of UBS AG or its affiliate, UBS. This material has no regard to the specific investment objectives, financial situation, or particular needs of any specific recipient and is published for informational purposes only. As a firm providing wealth management services to clients globally, UBS AG and its subsidiaries offer both investment advisory services and brokerage services. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. In the USA, UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS AG and a member of FINRA SIPC. For information, please visit our website at ubs.com/working with us. For a full legal disclaimer applicable to the independent investment views produced by UBS, please visit our website at ubs.com/CIO-disclaimer.